Welcome to the Nintendo Show, episode 62. I'm your co-host, Devin Moon, and with me, as always, the man that makes it all happen, Trevor Payne. Trev, how you doing?
Dude, what's up, Devin? Hey, I come to you from the mountains tonight, dude. Not recording in the same old place. I'm up in Park City, Utah, but I'm still stoked to get my Nintendo Show on. We got to keep this thing moving, you know what I mean?
Got to keep the train rolling. All day, you know, we're never not on time. You know, we work like a Swiss train, baby. We're always there for you. And Trev,
if you hear some moose on the background or like an elk or something, you know, it's all good. It's just part of the experience.
Part of the nature podcast. Trevor had to get away as far from his family as he could, so there's no sound. So he's literally in the woods right now. The man is a mountain man.
It is really crazy. I don't even know where I'm getting this Wi-Fi. It is the weirdest thing.
Strangely enough, you do have better internet in the mountains than I do.
I still have better internet than Devin.
Still, it's impressive. Nature finds a way, Trev.
Yes, it does.
Always does. Thank you, Jurassic Park, and thank you everyone for listening to the show. This week, we are going to be talking about the Steam Deck and what that means for the Switch, as well as our review for Skyward Sword HD. And also remember, listener, if you want to be part of the show, visit our website at nintendoshow.com, where you can send in your questions, comments, concerns, be implemented into this very show. Trevor, let's get into that mysterious world we call Mr. Miyamoto's Magical News.
Wahoo!
Number one, a new challenger approaches. Just after the OLED Switch pre-orders went live, Valve announced the Steam Deck, essentially everything the Switch Pro was supposed to be, but more. And Trev, let's dive into this beast, this handheld sex machine. Sex machine!
That is a different machine. I don't think that's what Steam intended with the Steam Deck, Dev.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, you put it that way.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
All right, we got to redo that. Got to redo that one. Feel real bad now.
I love it.
Dude, this thing, the Steam Deck. First off, how you liking that name? You liking that name? Steam Deck?
No, that is, the thing is with a lot of video game stuff, like the names, I'm always like, oh, dude, why did they come up with that? But this one seems bad. I don't like the name Deck, but they had, I mean, like, you heard, like, the rumors before, like, they're calling it the Steam Pal, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think Steam Deck is sounds better than the Steam Pal.
A little better, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that.
No, yeah, you don't. Buddy or pal, those aren't like the best
words. I mean, that's like, a kid thing. That's like a leapfrog, right?
Yeah, you don't call anything like a, you don't call a grown man's toy a buddy or pal.
No.
Don't you hate
call
that?
It a big old deck.
Yeah, dude.
Big old Steam Deck.
I hate it when people come in and they're like, hey, pal, or hey, buddy, and you're like, you don't know me. I'm a grown man. I'm older than you, you teenager.
I'm not your pal.
I ain't your pal, buddy. I ain't your friend. This is a weird name, but so is the Switch. I mean, like, any name is
really
lame. They're
all weird, let's be honest.
The Switch makes sense. Yeah, the Wii, they were trying.
I think the Switch was probably the best name, like, one of the best names that they've actually come up with.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. The Wii was inclusive, Trev. It was about we, us.
With two eyes.
Bring us all in here on this bad boy, this white console of greatness. A lot of people did come on board. But the Deck, we'll see about this one, because... Let's get in the specs, man. For the price,
dude, it's pretty. It's a pretty beefy little boy.
She's a spectator. She's not just a spectator. She's playing in the game. She's in the game. She's ready
fully
to fight.
Immerse. Honestly, like, this thing is calling my name, Devin. This thing looks so incredibly rad. It looks incredibly big and heavy, but it sure looks awesome. Sure, so, I mean, like, we have the specs here, Devin. Do you want to? Yeah, hit a few of them, like maybe price point and stuff.
Yeah, let's roll down with the price first. So $399. This will go So this is all based off storage, from what I can tell. You get the same stuff, except with storage is where it changes. They don't show the storage in here. No, it doesn't.
But I remembered a little bit. For the lowest.
So it's 64, 250, and then 525, I believe.
512? 525? Something one of those, like
that.
Whatever.
Yeah. SSD for all of them, but the 64 is very slow.
Correct.
To the point that it's not, from what I can tell, not worth buying. Like, it's probably, you shouldn't do that one. Like, if you're going to choose one, maybe not.
Yeah, and it seems if you are going to invest in this thing, like, get the other ones, because first of all, it's a different type of storage, so it's slower, it's not going to load games as quick. The others are using the, what is it called? It's like in that M.2 drive, the NVMe, whatever.
Yeah.
SSD, which is just crazy awesome fast. That's what's in the latest, you know, consoles and whatnot.
Yep.
I really think the 399 model is just so they could say we have a 399 handheld console.
Yeah, I think
but
that too.
I do think that with this one, like if someone's wanting to like have like just a really beefy emulator device that can play pretty much everything, even through like Wii U and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think then in that case, maybe that might be worth it, because you could just load a bunch of games onto a micro SD or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, like, time will tell. We'll have to see. But I really think that the next two models, the mid-tier and the high-tier, are the ones to lean towards if this was something you're going to go towards.
Yeah. So if you're hitting this up, that would definitely be the way to go about
it. You know what? We haven't even said what this is, Dan.
Yeah, what are we doing? Okay, that's what I just barely thought, too. Like, everyone should know. Hey, guys, the Steam Deck. And they're like, isn't this the Nintendo show? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, the reason why this is important to Nintendo audiences especially is that the Steam Deck is Valve's option of a Switch, essentially. You plug this in, it goes into your any HDMI port, plugs in through a USB-C and UBS. Anyways, I love their mailing service. But yeah, so this is
no UBS.
UBS. Yeah, dude, this is a stiff competition, especially hot off the heels of the OLED, which is essentially nothing other than an OLED screen. Here you're getting, you're not getting that OLED screen, but you're definitely getting a lot more power. And this is what people wanted from the Switch Pro, except, you know, it would have been, who are they working with? Good heck. The chip manufacturer, not AMD, the other guys.
NVIDIA? And
it would have been, yeah, NVIDIA's, right? Version of it. So yeah, that's why this is important. This is the thing. This is why we're talking about this. Sorry to just throw you into the water like that. You know, you weren't ready to
swim. Sometimes you got to go into the deep end. You know,
you were not ready to swim yet. Sorry, baby boys and girls. That wasn't right for us. So we're talking about a handheld system here that is a little bit larger than the Switch, to be honest, has more comfortability, has joysticks, real joysticks, solid joysticks, yep. Like ones that aren't little nubbins, like real joysticks are on here. It also has a pad, like little, so yeah, Valve loves their trackpads and their controllers. They like to be goofy with these things. And apparently this is like 50% better than the old Steam controller, if anyone knows what that thing looked like and how that thing played. Not very well, by the way. But hey, so they got those just in case if you're a total PC nerd, you want those. Yeah, other than that, like, so the look is a nice black, has the bezel, has everything. It looks very much like a Switch. It just has more of a chunkiness, has more ergonomic kind of feel. You got the handles on the back, stuff like that. So that's what this is. It's the Steam Deck. Come on, what, you're not on board yet? Anyway, so there it is. Trev, the specs on this thing is it's not getting the nitty gritty. Let's just say what it is, which is it's about as powerful as a PS4. From what I've gotten from everyone else, you're getting about the same power as a PS4, maybe a little bit less, but the factor here is that it's running for 720p rather than a 1080. So you will be getting a little bit more power. Also, because it is running on a newer chipset, It also changes the game that things are easier to produce games for, as well as it just is. It should be more powerful, even though it technically is as powerful as a PlayStation 4. So that's kind of what we're running at. You got also battery life is 2 to 8. I don't know why this is 7 to 8.
They're saying for 2D, like 2-day games, okay, or, yeah, or web browsing or basic stuff.
That's kind of a silly thing to put on here. Why wouldn't they just say 2-day? Why are they just doing 7-day on 2D? Anyways, yeah. Like we said, storage, you got your you can do your micro SD in there. It all runs on Steam OS. So you'll get anything you have on Steam is already on here, which is really cool. What do you think of that? Huh?
That's super exciting. I think that's pretty neat to, like, they have, so it's running, it's like a fork off of Linux, I guess.
Yeah.
It's so, but they have this translation software that will translate it from Windows to Linux. So everything they say should be compatible. I want to see it to believe it. So we'll have to see there. But the thing is like with Valve, the thing I love about them is that they are very much like, hey, we are very much open. You know, like,
yes,
you can really, they say that, hey, if you want to install Windows on it, if you want to install other stores, if you want to do what you want, this is a PC, you know? So I think like people that are worried that like, oh no, this is going to be this locked ecosystem. Like if you want to get around it, like they have made it possible is what it sounds like, which I find is really fascinating, really cool that this hardware that's, you know, they're putting all this money into, that they're willing to let like games off of Epic Games run on this thing if, you know, the consumer decides to install that operating system. So kind of it's interesting. I like it.
Yeah. And when you're talking about that, it makes me think that this is definitely for a PC owner. Like this is for the PC audience more than it is for, I would say, the mainstream, just because it kind of has that that freedom, you know, those wide open plains that PC dudes love. Right. It's like you're not stuck to this ecosystem. You can choose Microsoft. You can choose, you know, Linux. You can choose whatever, Google crap, whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it. And you can also switch out parts. You can do all these kinds of things. You know, you're never stuck with something. And so this audience, I think if we're going to compare this with the Switch and this, I don't know if the audience is actually really going to be like fighting, like, you know, I don't know if there's going to be much like butting heads here to me, but I don't know. Even the price point, yes, it's $400 and that's only $50 difference, but like if you're going for that five, like for me, Trev, I'm at least going for that $529. I don't know about you. So for me, there's not even like, I don't know, I'm not even like putting them together in some ways.
Sure.
But I don't know. And the way they talk about it, it's like, this is a PC. It's a portable PC. Yes, it's very much like the Switch, but it's a portable PC. So yeah, I mean, like all this stuff is excellent. Like it's all stuff we wanted. And it's really interesting that it's coming not from Nintendo at all. You know what I mean? It's very strange times, man. It's weird.
I know. It's crazy how, like, we were all super hyped and stoked about this Switch Pro. And, you know, another company is essentially putting it out. Now, the thing that they don't have, Devin, they don't have that Nintendo software. You know what I mean?
I know, dude. They don't got that great Mario Golf. You know, they don't have Mario Golf.
Exactly. That,
no, but exactly. That's the thing, man, is also... how many people have come against Nintendo on the handheld and have failed? You know, I think Sony was the closest. They did really well with the PSP. I think that sold like 80 million or something. But the Vita was a trash fire. Like people love it, but it is a trash. Like in the end, was a trash fire. It never.
Yeah, like sales wise, it struggled.
Yeah, it struggled.
You know, and the PSP, to be honest, like it sold super well, but it really sold really well once piracy really took off, because people could buy the device and then just pirate all the software and do emulation and stuff like that.
So probably not profitable. Like,
No, yeah. Like, I don't know how profitable it was. Like, did they make a bunch of money off of games, or did they just, you know, so it's interesting to see, but I am excited that someone is jumping into the handheld realm, because it has been so long dominated by Nintendo. It is so cool to see another company attempt to go in after seeing everybody try and fail. Yeah. And, you know, if it adds extra competition, and maybe, you know, I don't know how much this will actually push Nintendo, because they're kind of in their own world.
Yeah.
But even if it pushes them a little bit to maybe, you know, try a little bit harder in certain areas, that would be fantastic. But my question to you, Devin, is this something that is even like of interest to you? Is this something that's even on your radar?
So here's the thing now, Trev, is like, I was going to get the OLED, but now I don't think I will. I'd rather get this. And the reason why is because I have two Switches. Like, I don't need another Switch. Even if it was a clearer screen, I'm like, it's not that much worth it that I'd rather get just a Steam Deck. I have tons of Steam games. I don't play anything on Steam because I don't like to mess with PC. So for me, like, having that kind of closed off ecosystem, or at least that option,
can be a good thing.
Like, for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for me, that's what I like. You know, for me, that's why I'm a console gamer. Like, I love the PlayStation and all that kind of stuff, because I'm like, I like this closed ecosystems, like separated, and I like going through that. And so it'd be nice to have that on a small handheld that I'm really enjoying. And to be honest, like, for me, I'm going to do this over the OLED. And that's kind of, and that's my kind of thing. Maybe this doesn't interrupt with some people, but it does interrupt with people that do own the Switch. I don't think this interrupts with new Switch buyers, like people, but people that are, they are coming in for a second dip, are probably looking at the OLED and saying, no, I don't think I need to. You know, I don't think I need to double dip on a Switch now when there's this whole new handheld that is going to run games better than the Switch, especially the third-party ones, you know?
And, like, those AAA, because, like, they're saying pretty much any current AAA game that they throw at this thing, it can run it very well. Like, maybe not, like, in ultra settings or whatever, but it'll run it very well. You'll be able to play pretty much everything to date, and then that means, I mean, like, going forward, you're still going to be able to play so many games, and that's pretty awesome. And I agree, Devin, like, I think if Nintendo had put out that more powerful Switch Pro or Super Switch or whatever, like, then it might be like, oh, well, okay, well, maybe, you know, like, it would be a little bit harder decision. But I'm with you, like, unfortunately, I am I'm locked in on both, Devin.
Well,
I'm locked in.
It's happened, Trev. Yeah, it done did it. Done. Yeah. I knew it would. I mean, if anyone would, you would. And that makes me proud.
I love handheld gaming. Yeah. It's my favorite. It's my preferred way to play video games. And I've always had this, like, dream of, like, playing, like, my PC games, like Final Fantasy 14, handheld. Yep. And so I've tried, like, these Android, like, GPD, XD Plus devices that are like a 3DS and stream my game to it from the PC. And I've tried so many different weird ways, even, like, gaming laptops. And they're all great. But, like, it's never the same as holding my Switch in my hand. And so the fact that this other company, Steam, is making this, Valve, that is incredible. I am beyond excited about this device.
Oh, yeah, man. And Trev, here's the other thing that so I will talk about some bummers, but some exciting things with this also as well, is you could play on Steam PlayStation exclusives and Microsoft exclusives. You could play Halo right now on Steam. That's a big deal. Yeah. Trev, this is what everyone wanted from Nintendo and Microsoft. This is the one that everyone was like, yeah, we want Halo on the Switch. Guys, you're going to get Halo finally on a handheld system. You're fine. Dude, you can play Halo Infinite. You can play Halo Infinite on your freaking Steam Deck, dude. And for me, that's the game changer. Or you can play Horizon Zero Dawn on your Steam Deck. Sure, it's pretty old now, but, like, there's several, you know, Sony exclusives and others
Sony's
that you can
putting
play.
More and more games out on PC, and I think that they're seeing that it is profitable.
Yep.
So I think you're getting the best of so many worlds. Obviously, you're not getting those Nintendo games, but you know,
but you're getting two other exclusives from a console
and PC
and, like, PC.
It's crazy. It's exciting. It is exciting. And I agree with you with having the more locked off. I love console gaming because it's just easy. You turn it on, you play the game. It's awesome.
Yep.
I like to tinker. I'm very good with computers. I enjoy that, but not always. Sometimes when I sit down and want to play a game, it's kind of nice just to be like, hey, play the game and not have to be like,
oh yeah,
okay, let me go through all these settings and update drivers and all this crap. Like, it is kind of nice. So it is cool that it's going to be locked down. You'll still have to go in and mess with settings and be like, okay, I've got to turn off this anti-aliasing and all this other crap, you know, but I think it'll be a lot easier for people because it isn't like, okay, you have all these different stores and it, and I think it might be better just leaving it as, you know, on the Steam OS.
Oh yeah, I think so too. I think if it was up to me, especially if you can get those Microsoft games, some of them on Steam already, I think you're okay. And for me, okay, so the only bummer, watching, what are those guys? I don't know, sorry. Some YouTube dudes that do the tech stuff, and I can't even think of their names right now. But
Digital Foundry,
yeah. Their first video that they did on this did have me a little worried thinking about the future of this device and where it stands. Being as powerful as a PlayStation 4 is great, but it's not hitting even it's not hitting even Pro or Xbox Series or Xbox X, One X, status.
Definitely not, yeah.
And so, we haven't gotten to the point of next gen yet in gaming. Yes, they're here, the consoles are here, but we have not seen, in my opinion, really, I mean, even Ratchet and Clank to a degree, yes, it's beautiful, but it's, I don't think we're to that point where you get Naughty Dog on this thing, you know what I mean, on a PS5 and see what they do, you know what I mean? Once we're to that point, I don't think we're going to be seeing, it won't be, they say triple A's. I don't think this is going to be running that. You know what I mean?
And that's, it's possible it might not. Like, future-proofing.
Future-proofing is worrying me. And my thing is, I'm excited to play Halo. I'm excited to play these old games. But again, it's not the reason why I own a Switch. Does that make sense, Trev? Like, it's not the reason why I own a Nintendo Switch. Is it cool that they got Witcher 3 on the Switch? It's absolutely insane. It's so cool. But it is not the reason I love my Switch. The reason I love my Switch is I got Breath of the Wild. Like, the reason it's like those exclusives. And if the AAA exclusives are so, when they get to that point where it's, we're leaving the console generations finally behind, it will be interesting to see where this guy stands, you know?
Yeah.
And the price point obviously is going to be a lot of money for us to get something that would even be a PS5 category on a handheld device.
Well, and I don't even know if technology is quite there yet even. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's this way, like, even with like gaming laptops and stuff, it's like you buy it and in a year it's technically obsolete. Like, it's just, that's how portable electronics on the PC side of things is. Like, it's it, unfortunately, like, it's not upgradable. It is just is what it is in that moment of time. And I don't know if Valve is going to be like, okay, every 2 years put out an upgraded model and do something like that. That would be kind of annoying, but hey, you know, at least you have the option. But the thing is too, with most games, especially on PC, you do have the option to really like change a lot of those graphical settings to really, you know, probably maximize it over the next couple of years. But I do see this becoming obsolete tech wise
and like two, you know, I would say like quick, 2 years, you know? I'd say like a nice 2 year honeymoon, and then I think you are going to
you're gonna be
playing old games like
that, or play old games and be okay with it
exactly, like, and so it isn't, but
maybe that this is what it is, maybe this is the companion to your PC as opposed to like your primary PC.
Yeah.
Game system.
And I mean, it's great for indies. Like, the Steam has the best indie selection ever by far.
Yeah.
And so it's great for that. But yeah, there is, that is my worry, that there's not much future proofing. And yes, everyone's like, well, Nintendo's way behind. Yeah, I know. But again, it's Valve isn't giving you any exclusives. Like, you got Half-Life Alyx, which is a VR game. And what's the last thing they've, like, the last ones are like, what, Dota? Like, I don't know what they do anymore.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it would have been, know? Like that card game.
The card game, yeah, that everyone hated. So I'm like, they're not, Valve is a funny company that they don't really push to the next level. Like, when they did their own console, you were like, they're like, well, we have this idea, we're going to let other people do it, we'll see how it works. And it didn't work because they didn't fully commit to it. And I worry about their level of commitment sometimes, that they just are willing to, you know, put out a little money, see how it does. And if it's kind of a flop, we're going to people will have fun with it. They'll enjoy it, but it'll only be a two-year honeymoon, or they'll enjoy it for a couple of years and be like, well, that was fun, but I can't play anything new on it, you know?
So I do think, you know, I agree, because especially the Steam Box, man, that was like 10 years ago, Devin. I was really excited about those, but yeah, then when they started saying other people can just kind of make them, and I'm like, oh, so this is just a PC. You're not doing this yourself, you know? And so then it just kind of died.
Kind of flopped,
at least, yeah. At least with this, they're owning it. They're not being like, okay, Razer, whoever wants to make one, let's do it. No, they're putting out their device. So I think, like, at least that shows some commitment.
Although Trev, on the IGN interview that I saw, they did get into that weird wording where they're like, we do have this software out, and we would love to see other companies try a handheld type system too. So it also,
did they really?
Yeah, which makes me think, okay, so you're wanting Alienware to go.
Well, I mean, they are moving their Steam OS to all PCs for Big Picture, so they're going to replace Big Picture with whatever's on this. And so, yeah, technically anybody can just use this OS, which is cool. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe there will be competition, but at least they're putting out this, you know, hardware. I'm excited, but that is the real worry. That I really don't know how long they'll stay invested in this, because I guarantee you they are not making money on these. Because fact that with what these things have in them for price, there's no way that they're actually turning a large profit, if any.
No.
So maybe they're just hoping, hey, we get them into the Steam ecosystem and then we will make money, you know, our cut
that way.
Software purchases.
Yeah, which is like most companies, except for Nintendo, who's just like, nah, screw you, you're paying us the full amount. Actually, more. We'd like more, please. So this is a weird thing, you know. Still love our Switch, and again, I do not think that these guys, Nintendo, is never playing in the same field as everyone else because of the exclusives they have. They never will be playing with this the same ecosystem. They don't have to worry because they have these huge exclusives that no one else has, and they sell, guys, millions upon millions more copies than the highest. Like, Halo is nothing. Halo is nothing to Mario. Halo is nothing, and so is like God of War or any Uncharted. Any of that garbage is nothing. Nothing. Spider-Man is the highest selling PlayStation game, and that was like just recent. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Nothing. And that's not even close to, like, I guarantee you Mario Golf, that game that I told you is like a 6, is going to get almost millions of copies more than Miles Morales, which came out on PS5, right? It's like, it's ridiculous. So there's no worry for them. There never will be. But it's okay. It's all right. For me, I'm excited about this. I am timid about it, but I am very excited about any, like, super powerful. And dude, if Valve really went into this, if they actually were like, dude, the new Half-Life is on this, the new, like, if they put some, you know, games into this, it would be sick. It would be so cool, dude. So if they put, that's all they need. They need the games. If they had the games, like, plus Halo, plus all the PlayStation stuff, this thing is a killer, dude. It would destroy. So anyways, it's exciting still nonetheless, but there's that.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll keep an eye on this bad boy, huh?
Yeah, man. You got 2 pre-orders, huh? You pre-ordered both?
Yep.
That a boy.
Yeah.
Proud of you, Trev.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm glad you got on it.
Yeah, real quick. I don't know. You know me. I get excited about all this crap.
Well, that's awesome, man. You didn't get out scalped or anyone. No one took you down. That's nice. Frick.
Well, not yet, anyways.
Yeah.
For that. So we'll
see. That's a good point. All right, number two, we're going to get into Skyward Sword. Let's talk some real Nintendo stuff. Skyward Sword HD came out last week. This is a Zelda game that is maligned, hated, not really loved at all. I would say it's one of, it is probably, it's up there with Majora's Mask. Old, when people hated Wind Waker back in the day, it was, you know, it's up there with that kind of hatred. Skyward Sword, also a game that I never finished, a game I don't think you ever finished as well, right?
No.
And
no.
So
I've only started it and played like handfuls of hours, like 1,000 times.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it was one major 40 hour like go through, and then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, who cares about the end? I don't know why. That was dumb. But
that was dumb.
What do we think about Skyward Sword HD now? How, going back to the game, how you feeling? You liking this?
Yeah. So I don't know. I really had to contemplate. I really had to be like, okay, what kept turning me off about the original Skyward Sword? Why did I not get so engaged with like almost like any other Zelda game I've ever played? I always get hooked in immediately. Yeah. And this one, for so many times, I think it was the combination of motion controls, which were neat. Like I thought they were neat.
Yeah.
But it was just like, when I'm playing a game, I don't want to be like flailing my arms around. It's kind of weird. I don't,
yeah,
that's just not my style of game. And then second, Devin, I booted this game up because it is on the virtual or the eShop on the Wii U. I booted up the Wii version of it.
Uh-huh.
And it looks terrible.
Does
on those
it?
Old consoles. Uh-huh. I totally forgot how blurry.
Yeah,
everything was so incredibly blurry, and I bet you it looks even worse than coming through HDMI on the Wii U.
Oh yeah,
it was so bad. And I remember now vividly being like, oh, that's right, this game was so, like, the text was blurry, everything was just had this like smear, and we always call it the Vaseline smear,
yeah,
you know?
Uh-huh.
But it just looked so bad, like it wasn't supposed to be that way. And now seeing it on the Switch, seeing it in HD, and everything is clear, everything looks beautiful and gorgeous, like you can tell it's an old game, but yeah, they really did a great job prettying it up. Like I think it's just easier for me to look at.
Yeah.
And I'm not struggling, like I'm not the whole time wondering if my glasses prescription has changed all of a sudden.
Yeah,
so I think that's it.
Yeah,
and the controls, just being able to use the joystick to flick the sword around. But I am enjoying this game, and I have put more time into it than I have all those other times, and I'm actually very excited about it.
Yeah,
how about you?
Dude, I'm with you like 100%. This time around, it is a lot better. I don't know, like I did enjoy it enough on the Wii, but the Wii, you're right. Like I was surprised, dude, when I started this game up. I was like, this game is pretty. Like, this game almost looks as good as Wind Waker. And I'm like, I don't remember it looking this sure. good at all. Like, I always remembered Wind Waker looking good. But, like, going back to this, I was like, man, this is, even feels like to me like a bigger change. Which is funny, when you saw the comparison videos, I was like, no, I don't see the difference. But again,
no.
What's dumb is because I'm watching YouTube videos, not on high quality, right? I'm watching on what, probably like 420, and I'm like, this looks like garbage, dude. There's nothing happening. Well, it's when you're playing this game, when it's on your Switch, or dude, even better, when this is on your HD like screen, like 1080, yeah, 60 frames per second, this is a beautiful Zelda game. It's really good looking. And
it is.
You
it
know,
has this like painterly, like watercolory kind of cool look to it.
Yeah.
It's just I think this is what they intended it to look like, but they just couldn't do it with the hardware dev. Like,
dude,
they couldn't do it with the Wii.
Oh man. And just, and if you think about the time too, Trev, you had the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 at this time, and the Wii was an SD console, while yeah, all the rest were running in HD. And I remember at the time you had like Gears of War, dude, and you're like looking at this and you're like, what? What
yeah,
are we playing?
You're right. Yeah, it was such a stark contrast to go from games like that and then try to boot up this game and be like, what is
yes.
this? Like, it's not it, like it's a new game, but it looks so old, but it doesn't look like it's cool old, like, you know, like
no,
it just seems so out of place. So I'm so
yeah,
happy that they put time into re-releasing it with some added features. I mean, like, not to mention, Devin, like going through the start.
Yes.
Did you feel like everything just kind of
so quick
was a lot quicker,
way
and
quicker,
easier?
Dude, compare this to Twilight Princess, which is like hell on earth. I am
sure.
sorry, but that first like four Twilight Princess is like and it's at least, it feels like an hour and a half or longer. And I feel like this might be similar to that same length, but it's because you're watching pretty decent, like, movie clips and stuff.
Sure.
Twilight Princess is like an hour and a half of gameplay of you trying to finally get out of this thing. This thing, you're like, well, I can skip the movie if I wanted to, but I'm really enjoying this scene with, like, Link and Zelda. You know, Zelda is like the best she's ever been, dude. This is like Zelda at the best.
This is easily. Like peak Zelda. I agree. Like, whatever they do with the storytelling between the characters and then what's the jerk guy,
Groose?
I don't know what it is, but like I just am pulled in to the story, so I'm really excited to see like what happens next, and I think this has potential to go places.
Yeah,
so I'm excited to keep going. I'm so excited that just everything just seems like they took the training wheels off. They took them off, let you actually play the game. And I'm very grateful for that.
And that's a huge thing too, is like the training wheel. I just remember dowsing everything, but this time I'm not dowsing anything because I'm like, it's pretty linear, this game. Like, I would have to be pretty stupid not to know where some of these things are. Sometimes you're like, okay.
Yeah, sometimes there's most, but not really.
The fire temple, the first fire temple where you're on top of the rolling rock. And there's like a moment where you're like, where's this? Where am I supposed to go? And then you see a tiny, tiny, really bad crack in the wall. And you're like, oh, you bombed the wall, I guess. And it was very one of those kind of old school things that you're like, okay, this is maybe a little too hidden. But like,
sure.
I know people hate the linear style. Okay. Like, I understand it. But I think I feel like this game is more like a Metroid game than it is, like Zelda and Metroid always have similarities. There's definitely a similarity going on there, but I feel like this game is very much more Metroid style than it is a Zelda style game in its world, because like really essentially you're getting more items and like it's linear paths like Metroid, but you're like finding new doorways or you're pushing things down to create easier pathways and stuff like that. And for me, that's awesome, dude. I'm fine with that kind of gameplay. That's okay. I love Metroid. Like, so for me, it's not a huge deal. I understand for some people, Zelda, it's all about exploration. That's never been Zelda for me until Breath of the Wild. For me, it's been about puzzles, and I like this. I love going back to temples again. And some of these temples are amazing. And some of them I think are duds. Like, to be honest, I think the first forest temple is kind of a snore
that
fest.
That one's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like that's like, okay, it's to be expected. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cookie cutter. But I agree. Like, I think that they get better. And I really miss having like the full-on like temple to explore and just like this really deep labyrinth, you know, like I miss that, where in Breath of the Wild there was not that, you know. No. So I mean, very different games,
but it's funny to see the things that are similar, like you're like, oh, there is actually before I thought they were selling me something, but now I'm like, oh yeah, I could see what they were going for, you know, like collecting bugs and like you can build up
like the whole, exactly,
building your gear and like a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, was like little tiny ideas, but they weren't like as grandiose, because maybe they couldn't do that big world on the Wii. On the Wii.
No way.
And so I love what they've done. I love the areas. I love the clever puzzles, the time traveling, all the stuff. And the story, bar none, is one of my favorites, and it is carrying me through. And I think, dude, and just like you said, Trev, holding your hand throughout the game is done. You don't have to listen to the annoying chick all the time. Like, there's a few instances, but you just never pull out the little help me.
Yeah, like
button.
She's there, like Fee or Fi or whatever her name Fi, is. Fi-fo-fum.
Yeah, all that.
Like, she's there if you need help or you are like, I don't really know, you know, so you can. Like, it's awesome that she's there if you want that, but it's not being forced down your throat to have to listen to that help character constantly the game, you know. It just makes it feel so I feel like more immersed into the system, as opposed to that always popping up and then taking me out of the experience.
So the last thing I would say, so this is the final thing I want to talk about, is just the controls. I feel like the handheld just the controls with the stick are my preferred method, especially with flying. By the way, flying with that bird with the motion is a joke, and
it's stupid. It's like it's almost broken.
Yeah, it's like broken. You know? Yeah, it's legitimately broken. I hate that shiz. But I think it takes way too much time to on both ways to learn this system, and it's a little fumbly, and I think that's what really puts it down. Is like, yes, I know it now, and it's actually easy to play now, but you know,
but
it's a doozy, dude, because you gotta hold lots of buttons to move around the camera, which is awesome, by the way. That is awesome that you can move the camera. I can't even fathom, Trevor.
I appreciate that.
I cannot
so much.
Fathom a Zelda game without moving the camera. I would, what a miserable.
Yeah, you'd have to like turn the character Z, and then Z target,
Z target
the camera,
whole thing,
or
holy
let
shiz.
It like auto kind of shift. Like,
yes,
it was so bad, the original camera.
My
like
gosh.
As I was testing it out, like I was like, oh my gosh, like this is not fun. Yeah, just that maybe that was another thing, that one of those roadblocks that stopped me from playing it. But yeah, to be able to move the camera now, I think it is weird that you have to hold left bumper and move it, but it makes sense. That
makes
I
sense.
Mean you're stick, but you know what, I would almost like to reverse it. I would almost like to like have like an option to either be like, okay, right stick is always camera until you hold left bumper, now it's sword. And because I feel like I'm moving camera around a lot more than I am sword play, so I feel like my finger's always on left bumper, like all the time,
and that would be such an easy update. And I feel like why not make the ZL or the target thing already, which is, you know, the attack button usually. Why not make that the point where it turns into the stick is going to be fighting? It's like, it's, you already have a method already. Why not do that? Who knows? Very strange, but
yeah, maybe it'll get an update. Maybe it'll be enough. It might. People will be like, what the heck? But I mean, like it's sufficient. It's good enough as it is.
Yes.
You know, my brain can work around it and adapt,
but it
like,
took a
it
while, dude.
Nice.
It took a while.
It took me a while.
It takes a decent, I would say it took me 45 minutes probably to get okay. And maybe like 2 hours to get like good. And now I'd say I'm like great at it, but like it's, if you're going that far in, it's bad controls. Like it just is what it is. It's bad controls, and they tried their best.
It's still a step up.
It's still a step up.
From
where
it was. I'll take
it. Still better, but still bad. And that's, in my opinion, that's what makes this not the best Zelda game. Is just the controls, which is crazy because in here is one of the better Zelda games, and I really enjoy it. But anyways,
it's something else. I'm impressed. Yeah. Go get this game.
Go
man.
Get
like
it, dude.
It's cool.
It's cool. For me, I'm going to give it, Trev, 8.5 out of 10, I think.
Ooh.
I think that's where
I'm
going to
give it 8 starfish out of 9 astronauts.
I like it. So
that's
a perfect score, isn't that right?
Yeah,
that's...
I think so. No, honestly, I would probably throw it in like the 8 category. I agree. Now, I haven't finished it. Maybe once I finish it and experience the whole story, maybe this game is a 9 because like the story carries it that much. I don't know.
Yeah.
But for now, I am having a great time with it. I would say like it's a solid 8.5. I agree.
Yeah, it's a game I want to go back to, which is rare these days, actually. So it's kind of nice. So that is our review. Go check it out, guys. It's Skyward Sword HD. It's fun to have Zelda, a traditional Zelda, back in the fold. So welcome, welcome home, Linky boy. Trev, what you been playing, man? What you up to other than Skyward Sword? Yeah,
but other than that, dude, dipping back into Pokemon Crystal on the Game Boy Color.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know why, like, so I have this save that I keep going back to, and I, you know, play quite a while, and then I get distracted with something else.
Yeah,
and I keep going back to it, and I'm getting close to finishing it again, and this game is magic. This game is straight up magic. It is getting me so hyped for the re-release or the remakes of Diamond and Pearl that come out later this year. I love old Pokemon. Like, dude, even the new stuff is great, but man, just getting back to its roots of what it is, like, it is so just like pure and awesome. I love the Pokemon. I love the animations in Crystal. So the difference between Crystal and then Silver and Gold. Crystal was like the upgraded version.
Okay.
And it was made for Game Boy Color, and they had more power to be able to do like animation when they attack and stuff like that.
Okay.
And yeah, it's cool. I am very much in love with this game. It's up there with one of my favorite Pokemon games of all time.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, you can even get this on your 2DS and 3DS. So if you don't have a way to either emulate, or if you don't have the original consoles, like, you can, it's $10 on that eShop, and you could download it and play it, which is awesome.
Dude.
But it's a fantastic game. I can't recommend it enough. It is just so pure. It's awesome. The music, just those bleeps and bloops.
Yeah, man.
So good, dude.
Dude, the bleeps and bloops are so good. Yeah, I love bleeps and bloops. That's always the best music. dude, isn't it weird that, like, just like you talk about finding an old Zelda game on the Wii U, right? And then talking about finding an old Game Boy Color game on your 3DS. It's like, you had it, Nintendo. You had it. Yeah. Why the frick is the Switch not have any of this stuff? Why doesn't it have any of this
stuff?
You're
so right. I didn't even think
it's
about
so,
like,
annoying.
I've thought about this, but I've never really thought about it, Devin. Like, you're so right. Like, I have to go to the old systems to buy like those retro games or play those retro games.
Yes.
Not the current system. Why is it not on the Switch that you can go and play Game Boy Color? You can play NES. You can play Game Boy Advance, GameCube. Like, they need to get their crap together.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, they have such an opportunity on their hands. And I know we've talked about this probably ad nauseum at this point.
Yeah.
But like, they need to go back and just re-release these games, put them on a virtual console. Like,
and virtual console
stupid.
Needs to come back. Yeah, it
yeah,
needs to
it
come
is
back.
Stupid. This
it's
whole
stupid.
Subscription, and then we pump out three crappy games every.
Oh,
quarter.
And aren't they just the garbage? Like, they're just garbage.
They're just stinkers, dude. And yeah, like, they totally should, because like, first of all, like, people will pay for the online anyways because they want to be able to play online, and then the cloud save backup stuff. That makes sense.
That's fine.
It's like, now profit on all this other stuff instead of still being committed to that same $20 whatever, and you have to release these things on the online whatever retro play
whatever
thing. Yeah, like, create this console system virtual, though, which you already have. Just put them out there.
Just put it out.
And let people pay $10 per these old games. But it allows people to dive into that retro catalog that Nintendo has, this amazing stable of games and IP and properties, and give them a chance to go back to those games while making money. I just don't get it. Nintendo is freaking stupid.
Oh, so stupid.
Oh, I'm heated.
I'm heated too.
Heated,
it's so annoying that the Wii U.
I love them, but I hate them.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's garbage, dude. It's garbage that the Wii U has better
consoles. I
shouldn't
have to go to my old
It's
systems.
Stupid. It's stupid.
I should be able to use their current system.
Oh my gosh. They're so frustrating. And it's like, not everything has to be Netflix, okay? Not everything has to be Netflix. Not everything has to be a subscription service. People paid you 20 million times over for the same Zelda game on different consoles. They'll do it again. You're probably making decent amount of money just doing that. You probably make more. What are you doing?
To be honest, the game's made, Devin. All they have to do
is,
like, they already have the emulation systems set up to run these games. Because they're, I doubt it would take that much work. And again, I'm not a game developer.
Yeah.
But I highly doubt all the work that they put into these past systems, that there's not a way to move it over to the more modern system, which is more easier to develop for. And then also, so it's like, okay, you spend, what, a couple million, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine the amount of money that you're making now from that. Boom.
Yes.
Forever, until your next system comes out. And then guess what? Make everybody buy it again, because we're all dumb.
Because we'll do it again. Because it's the new
console. Like, not that I want that, but like, just... like, I just doesn't make sense. I want Nintendo to make some smart moves here.
Yeah,
but
the option should be there, at least, for crying out loud. What a joke. Mm-hmm. And I think it might maybe it is an architecture thing. I know that the Wii and the Wii U probably have a similar kind of architecture, and maybe that's why they could do the virtual console. And I know virtual console was made for that kind of it's going, or sorry, I know the Wii was made for virtual console. Like they knew that they were going to do emulation stuff like that. So yeah, maybe that's a problem, and that they didn't plan that for the Switch. But you make it happen.
The hardware in the Switch is sufficient. You can, on the original ones, you can hack them, put Android on there, and then just run emulators and play all these games.
Okay, so happen.
So it's definitely powerful enough.
Yeah,
they'll have to do something, but I really don't think it'd be that hard. Ugh. I really don't. Because like that stuff's already out there. People have already created all these emulators. Nintendo has even, at times, used ROMs and emulation from other people in their own software in the past. Like, it's just like, they can do this, and it just boggles my mind.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm bummed out. I'm bummed out. Let's talk about something happier. You know what I'm playing, Trev?
Yeah, what are you playing,
bud? So, my boy Trev, he got me a PS5, everybody. It's happened. Boom, boom, boom. Finally. I'm looking at the box right now. I got the sleek, sexy digital version, which, my opinion, is the way this console was meant to be. It just looks like it was meant to be this way. It wasn't meant to have that weird...
It's not like an afterthought, like, we forgot the disk drive.
It wasn't meant to have cancer on the side.
Slap it on the side. Yeah.
Why didn't they put the disk drive down the center? Anyways, this thing is freaking huge, giant. It's the size of a PC, but it is gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's fun to play. And it's, to be honest, as a guy that hasn't been on the PlayStation for a long time, because my dad's had it for 2 years, it's nice to have PlayStation back in my life. Mm. So the games I'm playing, Astrobot, a free game, dude.
Yes.
A free mother effing game. This may be, Trev, one of the best like games that comes in with a pack-in console,
game.
Wii Sports, maybe. Like it shows you, dude. I love the games that actually show you what your console like does, and it actually is genuinely good. Yeah, like it's genuinely good. Like Nintendo, whatever that shiz was. What was it that everyone likes on the Wii U? That game blows. Nintendo, Nintendo.
Oh, the Nintendo Land.
Oh shit,
yeah,
that game sucked.
The same.
That made me think that maybe I don't want the Wii U. So this game though, Astrobot, man, holy shiz, that is Mario. Should be a little afraid, huh?
Yeah.
I think Mario should be a little like those guys. The Mario team might be quaking in their boots if Astrobot gets like a real game, like a legit, 12-hour experience.
Yeah, because they do have one.
Not in VR,
but
like a legit Mario game. I mean, this is pretty legit. It's really good,
dude. It's crazy.
Oh
like,
my gosh!
And dude, like I've always been like tangentially like connected with PlayStation. I've always been very much Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, but like there is so much cool nostalgia stuff going on in Astrobot, like all the different like PS1, PS2 consoles, the controllers, like all these cool little Easter eggs throughout the whole experience. It is just like, I don't know, if you were a PlayStation fan, like you would gush.
Oh yeah. And well, even not like, I'm just like looking at all these doodads and crap that I've collected, cause I'm a collectathon dude. And I'm loving it, man.
Yeah.
They're like rendered in like some real, like some sweet rendering, dude. It looks like sometimes you're like, that's some legit PlayStation.
You're just like, that's
real
the actual
life PlayStation.
They
yeah.
They put it in the game.
Yep. Like it's so good looking. I mean, it's not the game itself's not like amazing looking, but it is pretty. It's beautiful. But
it's
the controller.
Yes, the controller dev.
The controller on this thing, huh? What in the world did PlayStation do? They took the stupid HD rumble that, we all were like, oh, 1-2 Switch, let's learn about balls and how many balls are in this stupid controller. They took that shiz and they actually did something great with it, at least with Astrobot. I mean, like, you feel the difference of everything. Like you're a rolling ball and you feel it on the rock and the gravel and it feels like rock and gravel. You're feeling the ting tings on the metal. This controller's rumble is like actually good. It does
it's
not
insane.
Feel like that garbage. Like the Joy-Con,
well,
it's
not just a rumble. Like it's so tactile. And like the part where like it's starting to rain and your little dude,
yes,
your little robot has this umbrella and the way it like pitter patters on the umbrella was, you feel it in the controller and it feels so crazy and natural. Like, oh yeah, that's what raindrops would feel like if it was hitting the, it is insane. And it just, I really feels like it just really pulls you into the experience. And the resistive triggers, like when you're doing the whole like spring jumping, little moment in that, it's just like, gameplay wise isn't that fun. Like, that's probably one of the lamest like platforming experiences. But it is heightened because of all of a sudden there's this like resistive trigger, and you can feel when like he like the spring is totally preloaded and ready to go. And it is something else. Like, PlayStation, they nailed it with this
controller. Nailed it with this controller. Like, it is better than the, in my opinion. So for me, I actually enjoy where the sticks are placed in a PlayStation controller. I know some people are the off center, but I actually like it the way it is. But yeah, for me, this might be my favorite controller ever. I like the look of it, the design. I think it is one of the best controllers I've ever felt. And I do, like, honestly, I think with the Rumble, it's more of a game changer than I thought it would be. If it's used.
Because it's not used very often. Exactly. I've played a lot of games on PlayStation, and it's only a handful that actually take advantage of that stuff, which is the sad part.
Which sucks. Because I'm playing a little bit of Miles Morales, which I like. It's more Spider-Man, which is fun. But, you know, collect-a-thon stuff, never the greatest. But I do like the game overall. I feel like it's just too timid in that game. Like, you can feel it, but it's not like Astrobot where it's rubbing it in your face. Yeah. Like, you kind of are like, oh yeah, they tried, but I'm like, you didn't really go all in. And that's kind of bumming me out. Cause you have a jewel here, you know, you have something really precious here. And I hope people actually do something with it and not just cop out and be like, eh, nah.
Totally. And Devin, when was the last time a new console came out and the controller was the thing,
the highlight?
Was the thing that was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. This is changing my experience. Like, yes, there was like analog stick on the N64 or dual joysticks. You know, like, there's these moments that are like, oh yeah, that was cool. But it never really like pulled you into the experience as much as the DualSense. That controller, there's just something about it. And I want all the developers to really dive in. And recently on a Kind of Funny podcast, Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, was on, you know, talking about the Xbox, all this stuff. And they asked him like, hey, you know, I can't remember exactly how it went, but he basically said, yeah, we really like what PlayStation is doing with the DualSense. And yeah, we are considering, it is something that we would potentially consider, is adding something like that to the Xbox controller.
Yeah.
And how cool would that be? Because then if they did that, then developers could standardize that type of immersion across the board, and we'd get that even more. Well, so I doubt that was going to happen anytime soon, but that would be fantastic, right?
I would love that. That'd be amazing. And I honestly, guys, this Rumble, when you feel it, it is intensely that good. And it always bums me out when that happens. It's like 1-2 Switch. Like, I was really impressed with the Joy-Cons, and Nintendo should be the guys that are actually messing with that HD Rumble the most, and they don't. Like, they do it on a few games, but the rest of them, dude, that Rumble sucks.
And it's so
sucks.
Loud.
It's so loud, and it sucks.
I'll be playing in bed, and all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, I'm gonna wake up the whole house with this thing.
And it's not good, dude. It's not, it's like worse than like old Rumble. It's so bad. I'm not a fan of it. So I hope PlayStation's controller doesn't go to that. But Astrobot, guys, is an amazing game, and it truly is one of my favorite platformers in a long while, which is really weird. So that's pretty cool. But that's what I've been playing, man. Let's get into a little fan questions. One cool dude asks, rank the 3D Zeldas from worst to best. Go, Trev.
Oh my god.
Here are I've got them pulled up for you.
Okay, good.
So we got Ocarina, Majora's, Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, and Breath of the Wild. Oh, those are the six games we get to choose from. Who goes at the bottom?
On the top, or do we want to go bottom up?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's go bottom. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and I'm with you.
I know people love it. It's just not for me. That game I struggle with.
So I struggle with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I struggle with it too.
Are we in agreement there?
Definitely. I think Majora's is. I think it has great ideas. I think it has some of the lamest dungeons. I think the open world. It does not. When I go out of that world, it does not bring the joy of Hyrule Field to me. I just don't like it. I don't like the world. I like that little town. I like the moon. I like all that crap. The mask, all that is fun, but it's not the best. And guys, again, every Zelda game is really, really good, but Majora's for me is definitely on the bottom. Okay, so what's next? We got.
It's hard because like I'm in the middle of Skyward, so I'm like I don't know where to place this thing.
So we got Twilight. So what would you say would be after that? Twilight.
I am enjoying Skyward so much right now that it is really starting to move up the charts for me. So probably say Twilight would be the next one after Majora's.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you on that one too. And I don't know what it is or why I would say that, because Twilight is basically here's why I'd say it. The wolf sucks.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And it's a huge part of that game.
That game is pretty rad though. Still, like, regardless, it is a cool game.
It's a cool game, but that wolf bums me out, dude. I think Twilight. I've totally forgot about the Dark World shiz, and now I'm reliving it, and I'm hating it again. Okay, so Majora's, okay, so Twilight,
Majora's Twilight, and we're going from bottom up. Okay,
yeah, Skyward Bottoms Sword, up. Right? It can't be. Do you think definitely. Wind Waker is better than Skyward?
No.
Okay.
No, like I, you know, maybe by the end of this, but I'm going with right now, like what I've experienced across all the Zeldas. I'm gonna say the next one has definitely got to be Skyward.
Okay, so we're gonna put Skyward Sword in there. This is a big surprise,
which is crazy.
I think it was probably in my bottom
at the bottom.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Would have done this podcast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Easily the bottom.
This would have been totally different. Exactly. That's crazy.
Maybe we should, you know. This is the updated. This is the HD versions of each of these games. Okay,
of course.
We're not. We ain't playing in the old Wind Waker. We're not playing in the old Twilight. Okay, so Wind Waker next, or Ocarina next?
Ooh, okay,
or Breath of the Wild.
Down to Ocarina.
Yeah, we're down Wind to the Waker, three.
Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah, this is a hard one.
For me, it's going to be Wind Waker. Would probably be the next one.
Okay. Now, Wind Waker is one of my favorites, but I'm willing to put it there because I do love Ocarina and Breath of the Wild very much.
Right? Well, that's how I feel, is like these three are some of the best games I've ever played in my life. Like, and they are incredible. And so Wind Waker is just, it is a gem, man. That thing, it is beautiful. It stands the test of time with like its art style. I think it is incredibly fun. The Wii U remake of it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't think, it definitely doesn't beat Breath of the Wild for me. And I feel like Ocarina is so unique and so...
The emotional
game-changing. Yeah, yeah, like it is so cool. So and you're right, the emotional side of it. Like it tells such a...
Tells a better deep, story, I think.
Cool story.
Yeah. The better Ganon, I think, though. Better Ganondorf. Oh, I like his design, though, and Wind Waker.
Totally.
And Zelda's probably cooler there, too, as a pirate. Spoilers. Ocarina and Breath of the Wild, then. Now, this is always the challenge. This shows who you are as a Zelda fan, right? Like, are you a dungeon guy or are you a open world guy? Because honestly, Breath of the Wild dungeons, people like those little tiny shrines. I would like those shrines if they were environmentally different, like a dungeon, but they are very dull and boring in the way that they're presented.
Art style, like they totally could have mixed it up and then just it feels different, but you're right, it all feels very samey.
So I mean, even if you just gave me a little bit of lighting difference, anything would have been great. It was just metal slabs for days and lots of blue. I was good. But the world otherwise is amazing. Ocarina's good, but like the dungeons, they're pretty good.
They're good.
They're good.
They're good.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole I love playing young Link and then Big
going
Link
through time, yeah,
going through time, like, and seeing like the change, and it, like, that is very emotionally like crazy and rewarding to like experience that whole story. Yeah. I, for me, it is such a soft spot in my heart, because like I've always played Zelda games up to this point, but this was like the first one that I became a fan, like a true like fanboy of Zelda games was yeah. Ocarina. So that's how special that game is to me. But but dude, Breath of the Wild, I think I've said this multiple times when we talked about our favorite games of all time, is I think it is probably one of the best games I have ever played.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And although I have moments, I'm like, did I love it as much as I thought I did? I mean, I did 100 hours. I must have. But I'm like, I haven't played it since the beginning, like 5 years ago when it came out with the Switch. Yeah. And so I wonder, am I rose tinted glasses? Was it because the Switch was happening?
Maybe because like there was nothing else coming out on the Switch during that time, so that's why you put all that time into it.
Well, and everyone was saying it was a 10, you know. So I'm like, am I just, when I, if I went back to it, would I love it as much as I did? And I don't know. Like I do think it is one of the better ones.
So
oh man,
I'm okay.
Go with your heart.
With my heart, my gut, my soul, Devin.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Ocarina is number one. Like that, it is
like
so special to me, and it is so such a like literal game changer, you know, in all of gaming. Like it is so incredible.
It truly is, yeah.
And you know what? I do still go back to it almost like once every year, 2 years to re-experience that game.
Well, and it's the one that everyone wants remade as a Breath of the Wild, right? They want it to be, to look, to feel exactly, you know, like something of gorgeous and beautiful and how they remembered it, you know, and that open world, super giant, like Breath of the Wild feels now. And that game is that impressive that even now your memory and my memory of that game is, wow, that was an open world with an amazing experience with crazy creative things. Like you go in the belly of a well, you go into some weird, creepy, like grave death thing. There's like a creepy, you know, boat you go on and all kinds of
places.
It goes all over the place.
And like
it's an adventure.
Cool.
Yeah. Dude, I'm with you. Ocarina is first and BOTW. You're number two, but you're real close, man. You're
so
inching.
That's a tough one. It's like,
dude,
picking which Breath one of your kids is
Breath
the
of the Wild 2. Like I'm saying, you have dungeons, or even if, like I said, you just change it so we're not doing the metal slabs, we might have a winner here. We might have a number one. So hopefully they keep it up.
That was a close one, man. I almost went the other direction.
I was close too, man. Thank you, One Cool Dude. Hopefully you agree with us. Most likely not, because who puts Skyward Sword at number three out of the six? We do, okay? Because it's a great game. Go check it out. All right, recommendations.
I think
we're just not living on the high.
Like, hey, but you know what? Sure. It's this moment in time, so.
It definitely is. All right, man. Final recommendations. This is where we give something awesome to check out, video games or otherwise. Trev, what is the thing you want to recommend?
Yeah, dude. Like, so my recommendation, I don't know if you've heard of it, but there's a company called Genki. They make some weird products.
I've heard of
the Switch.
Yeah, I've heard the name, but I don't know if I've seen the product.
So they make a handful of things like Bluetooth adapters so you can plug into the USB-C and connect to AirPods, stuff like that. But they make a thing called the Covert Dock. And this dock, it is this cool. It is the size of like a charger, like the Switch charger, like the brick part of it. It's that size, but inside that is the charger plus your dock. It has the dock, everything built into that one thing. And so it's really cool for travel. So like when we're traveling, I have it with me. So if I want to plug it into the TV, instead of bringing this big, bulky, nasty dock, you plug in this little thing that is a power cord anyways, and it has HDMI out, it has USB-C, it has everything on it, and it is so convenient to pack around. So if you are someone that either travels or you like to take a Switch to a friend's house, or you know, whatever your situation is, this thing is so rad to be able to have this very portable dock, and the fact that everything is right there in the wall and you don't have to run a cable from the wall to this other device, then from this device up to the TV or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It all just goes straight from this wall puck, and it is super rad. So if you're someone that travels a lot, or, you know, just moves the Switch around the house even, this is a cool device. I would check it out. Genki makes some pretty dope hardware. I've been very impressed with it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When you said the name, I thought maybe it's like camouflaged, like it's painted like white, like your walls.
Yeah.
And you just can't find it.
And it disappears.
Like, where is it? I had a Switch here somewhere.
It disappeared.
It's on green camo for your forest setting, whatever situation.
Absolutely. It's just a pile of leaves. It's really
yeah. Well, I mean, you are in the woods right now. So this woods. This you know, would be really the time to have it.
There's this owl just staring at me, dude.
Yeah, bro.
He's I don't going know what for to you, do. Dude. What do I do?
He's gonna pick you up. You're gonna be his baby.
Okay. That's gotta be a big owl then. Big old boy.
Dude,
what's your recommendation? Homie?
I'm just saying, you saw Ocarina of Time. They do. Oh. Those owls do come. There are big boy owls, and they do carry humans away.
You know, I might not be able to make it to the next episode. Devin, yeah, be sorry. Lost in the woods.
Yep, we'll find you. Don't worry. We got a tracker on that owl. Recommendation, Trev, the PS5. I'm in love, as you can tell. I love the controller. I love the funky design. What is this stupid idea, huh? What a dumb idea. Good for you guys. You know, Xbox was like, you know, we're going to be boring as shiz. You're getting the old controller. You're getting that cube. PlayStation 5 was like, nah, shiz. We're slimming this old girl down. We're going to give her some
fins.
You can put some fins on this thing. Whole bunch of rays. Looks like it's going to, you know, eat you in some kind of alien movie. It's wonderful. I am in love with this ugly, weird design that's not going to last anytime soon, because I guarantee you they're like, we made a bad decision. This console's way too big. Anyways, I love it. I love having a PlayStation in my life again. And I would just say, if you didn't hop on the PlayStation 4, this is the time to definitely hop onto the PlayStation ecosystem, because the PlayStation 4 has some of the best exclusives. And guess what? They play really, really well on your PlayStation 5. Really well. You're getting 60 frames. You're doing all that good lighting shiz, ray tracing, all that crap. It's amazing. Guys, get a PS5 so you can have all of the PS4 catalog. Plus, you're getting a few PS5 games, not many, but more than Xbox currently. And I would just say, and for a guy that has been out of the PlayStation ecosystem, a PS4 for the last 2 years, it's nice to play my games that I bought for my dad, you know, because I'm like, hey, I can play the games that I wanted to play. So, but you know, I got my Last of Us 2 chilling. I got a whole bunch of crap that I'm just, you know, Miles Morales, whole bunch of stuff that I downloaded a long time ago, but now I can play it, and it's wonderful. It's a great experience. So
cool.
Loving it, dude. I think it's a great system. It's quiet, silent. It's definitely a looker, you know. But it's one of it's. I'm enjoying it. And dude, what's talk? I gotta say, their menu is amazing. Their menu is this is how the Xbox should look on menus. They have a game section, and that's where all your games are. You have the media section, that's where all your media is. I love separating those two. When you go and click on like the game, it has a nice, like the music changes for each game. It has a big background for each game. It's about the games, you know, it's a console. It's about the games, and that freaking whatever that background garbage is, it's amazing. I love the look of their software here. Compared to the messy Xbox. I know they've improved it.
And I'm the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
I am.
You love that messy look? No. That nasty boxes?
So it is as messy as you want.
Windows 8?
No, Devin, like,
Windows 8,
you don't understand. You're not doing it right, Devin. Because, like, they have made it so customizable now that, hey, I can create a section just for games, and I put the games there. I can create a section just for family games. I can create a section for media. I can, like, it is crazy amount of customization.
That's just folders, man.
I like it.
I understand that there's no folders on the new thing. I understand that. I don't understand why they can't put folders.
Right, hey, just like the Switch, Devin.
Yes, dude,
the PS5 sucks. You have to go all the way to the right, click it to pull up all your games. Hey, here's another reason that
Listen right now. You got 800 gigs, Trev. You're only fitting 5 games on this thing. How far are you going?
I have a hard drive plugged in with all the PS4 stuff.
Okay, get your disgusting rich fingers out of my PlayStation 5. All I gotta say is, yes, I understand that the folders are stupid as crap. That I do not understand why every single time we have a reiteration of, like, whatever this is, OS, a reiteration of OS, that we never can do folders. Yeah. PS4 was like, nah, screw it. We don't need folders. PS3, we had folders, but we got rid of them. They did it again. It's so confusing. What do you just put folders should be on there.
Oh, Devin, don't even get me started on the store experience on that thing. It is so hard to find anything on that store.
Okay, you're right.
Like, I feel like it is.
The store is bad.
I agree. The art that comes up and the music is very awesome and welcoming. Yes. And I think that, like, they need to do some tweaks because it is not perfect, but I think they're going the right direction. But I was going to say, Devin, I had an experience. I did have an experience last week. Okay. Not to yuck anybody's yum. All right. Hey, I know you love this PS5.
Yuck away, my man.
I love it too. But, you know, I had an experience. Yeah. I played through Final Fantasy VII Remake. Loved it, right? On the PS4.
Yeah.
All right.
Having the same experience I'm having right now? I think we might. Okay,
just
go ahead.
You'll
see. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, oh, they have that that whatever DLC for it, right? And it's a PS5 version. This is incredible. So anyways, I download it. I'm all amped, ready to play this game, start it up. And I'm like, okay, dope. Oh, it only lets me select new game? I'm like, what? I can only do new game? I'm like, no, I played it. I'm like, I even have... Okay, and I'm like, that's stupid. So I'm like, all right, let me go look it up. And then I'm like, oh, you have to download the data from your PS4. And I'm like, okay, so I go download. I have to go download the PS4 version of this game. So now I have PS4 and PS5 version on my very limited amount of space on my console. And then I try to start it again. Because I'm like, oh, it'll just pull the save over. Oh, no, Devin, you have to boot up the PS4 version, upload the save, then close it, open up the PS5, download it, and then finally complete. Ooh. This is so bad.
That is bad.
Xbox has figured it out where no matter what you do, it's the same game. It just moves it over. You don't have to think about it. Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Did you experience this?
No, the store is bad. You're right. No, I did not. Mine's worse. I got my Final Fantasy VII copy for free from the PS Plus sell thing, right? So they had it for free because it, you know, was one of the games that month. I got it, downloaded it, and so I was like, "Oh, surely I can get the upgraded version of this game." No. And so now I'm thinking to myself, I'm not spending $70 for this Final Fantasy game I already own for slightly better visuals. No, I'll just play the Final Fantasy VII on my PS5, the old version.
And they've done this so many times. Even Ghost of Tsushima, like the updated version, they're like releasing this whole thing. You have to pay extra to... This is my thing with PlayStation that really bugs me, but that's for a whole another podcast.
Yes,
the store, I love the PS5. Yeah. It's fantastic.
You're right. The store experience is bad. I do think the OS is good. I hate the folders. However, the Xbox OS is a marketing ploy, and it is disgusting. I know you have your folders,
but
I've never seen it. All I'm seeing is games. Every time I open my Xbox, I see several ads for Game Pass. You go to hell, Xbox. I'll get it when I want.
I love it.
I hate your stupid Xbox One console. I hate it. It's sitting here. I use it as a Netflix machine. It's garbage. It's sitting on the ground where it belongs. You suck, Xbox One. I'm Series X
I'm with
like
you
a
there.
Wonderful console. I'm going to buy it this year. But Xbox One, you go to hell. I'm just sad that it doesn't feel new either. You know what I mean? The PS5 feels new. The Xbox One, or the Xbox Series X, you're running the same thing. Trev, I'm running the same thing, and I have a garbage piece of thing just sitting there. It's the old one. It's the crappy, bricky one that's all scratched up and looks like garbage.
Nice.
Whew, I need to breathe.
Yeah, dude, we need to go cool off, man. I hope it rains out here. Just like a... Cool down. I'm going to set this horse on fire.
Yeah,
bro.
I got a little heated about OS. Yeah. Whew, okay.
People that being said, hey, video games are cool.
Video
huh?
games are cool. Love, hey, these new consoles, they run and they run nicely. Thanks for getting it for me, by the way. You're the greatest of all time. Hey, everyone.
No, I didn't buy it for you, by the way. Just so everybody knows, like, I'm not that kind.
Sorry. Yeah, he's not. Like I, he's not buying it for me.
I found it for him.
The man,
and I got it.
The man has an underground system of who knows what's it's, and he's doing all kinds of stuff in shady back alleys. And he's my guy. He's my guy. So, you know, he goes out there in the front and I sit back here and just wait for it to happen like a loser. Trav, let's end this thing. This thing is just running, right? It's just running. This is a big show.
That was probably the longest recommendation we've ever had.
Yeah. This is a big pop up. 120. Good job, everybody. Thanks for coming this long. We love you very much. If you want more Nintendo Show, well, we have 61 other episodes of this garbage. We got Weekly Recharge, and Trev Takeoff Running is on Twitch. That's where you can find Trev. You can find me on Weekly Recharge on YouTube. The Nintendo Show, I post that up there as well as a YouTube version if you would like that. But hey, man, you're right here listening to the podcast. Who cares? Make sure you visit the website at nintendoshow.com. Follow us on Facebook and at the Nintendo Show. Remember, please leave us a review on iTunes that many of you have already. Like, comment, all that good stuff. Share it, because it really it helps us out a lot. And I do believe that this show is one of the best Nintendo shows out there, although we talked a lot about PlayStation, but that's what makes us great, huh? That's about it for tonight. I hope you all have a great couple of weeks. We'll see you in a few. Bye.
Oh no, Devin, the owl's coming.
No, Trev! Duck and dive, my man. Duck and dive.
Bye, Devin.
Oh, well, we'll get a new host later. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening.